Support for Curious Louisville comes from Lakshmi Farms, which believes in building community and expanding minds through progressive ideas, education, and growing soil right here in Anchorage, Kentucky.
Okay, Jake, so our question is,
why do people in Louisville give directions based on landmarks that are no longer there? I remember on many occasions asking someone for directions back home and getting go down about 3/4 of a mile and make a right at the old Sears or make a right at the old White Castles.
And that question comes to us from Katiriana Reyes, who grew up in West Louisville but has since moved to Brooklyn to perform as a singer and a DJ. And this is a question that we hear a lot in Louisville. This shows up on all the lists of, you know, you're from Louisville if you give directions based on landmarks that are no longer there.
Yeah.
It's often the old Sears building. That's like the quintessential example that I usually hear.
Or the White Castle, right?
Or the White Castle, yeah. Yes. So to answer this question, we thought we would talk to somebody who knows pretty much everything about old landmarks in Louisville, and that is Councilman Tom Owen. So we asked Councilman Owen to come join us for a walk down 4th Street.
Beautiful day to be outside. So this block is Movie Row. It's this next corner up here where my father would have said, oh, you know, where the old post office was. Right over there on the northeast corner of 4th and Chestnut.
Which, right here? Oh, wow. I think of that as the old Walgreens.
That's right. For you, you could talk to somebody about it being the old Walgreens.
Tom thinks one factor in this phenomenon is population stability.
We have a goodly number of people who've been around long enough to remember the old Bacons or the old Sears and Roebuck on Shelbyville Road or the old Big A Shopping Center on Cane Run Road. I believe it presumes a fairly stable and continuous population from youth to older age.
He says these references we make to things in our shared past make up a kind of vocabulary.
A geographical glossary, as it were. Oh, you know, the old Stuarts there at 4th and Walnut? Oh, no, I mean Muhammad Ali.
So we're using a vocabulary that marks us as part of belonging to the city.
That's right. And it's kind of a shared glossary of terms.
But one thing that's important to remember when we talk about this shared vocabulary of places is that not everyone would have the same vocabulary because we're from a city that's largely segregated and especially in the past was legally segregated.
Yeah, what I share with somebody may not be what somebody else shares with somebody. And Tom Owen was able to give a really, really striking example of that.
That building here on the left, that building had been reconfigured in Art Deco design by Bix. Bix was an upscale women's clothing store. What it became known for is that it was the only place in Louisville where an African-American woman could try on and turn down clothing in the dressing room.
So it seems like a lot of what you're describing, I got to go back again to that idea of like your inner circle, right? Like,
that's,
I mean, if you're an African-American lady, you're not going to give a direction based on a department store where you don't shop at.
That's exactly,
you know what I'm
right.
saying?
That's
so,
exactly
you
right. You know, that's the problem with history as nostalgia. At least in a racially divided world, everyone doesn't have the same nostalgia.
Tom also has this theory that your most vivid memories are formed between the ages of 6 and 26.
That's an awfully, awfully significant time. A lot of memory is shaped there. A lot of intensity is shaped there. And so I suspect that it's that people of that generation who are remembering and hailing back, who find some comfort in landmarks, whether they're there or not.
And Laura, you had a great example of something that happened to you during your formative years that has stuck with you, I don't know, maybe plagued you since then.
That's right, it came up on our walk. Also, if somebody says, oh, what part of town is it in? I'm likely to say, oh, it's out by, you know, Showcase.
Showcase Cinemas? Where are they?
Showcase Cinema was...
did you say past tense? You did say past tense.
They're going their Costco now.
Yeah.
But back to your old point about formative years, I had my first date at Showcase Cinema.
I love it.
Okay, so we have this theory that it's related to memories formed during a certain period of your life, and we also know that it depends on population stability. People who grew up here and stick around. But why us? Why is this such a Louisville thing?
I'm not sure we're that unique. Those folks who have been around a little more than I have may know they also do that in Des Moines. I don't know.
As a matter of fact, Tom is onto something, because when we started working on this, I Googled, you know you're from, along with the words, landmarks that no longer exist. And I found, let me get this.
You got a lot of papers.
20 undeniable ways you know you're from the state of Rhode Island. Number 13, you've given directions based on the location of Dunkin' Donuts or stores that no longer exist.
Wow.
And there were tons of examples like this. You know you're from Kingsport, Tennessee. You know you're from Baltimore.
This seems ubiquitous.
So if it's not just us, then who is it and why? To answer this question, we went...
to the lab.
We are going to the memory lab.
Woo!
Are you excited? So we went to the memory lab at the University of Louisville, and we talked to Dr. Keith Lyle.
He is an associate professor of psychological and brain sciences.
And he explained to us, first of all, how we store these kinds of memories in the first place, which is a little seahorse.
It's a little seahorse that just sits right there in your brain.
And it's called the hippocampus.
So this little seahorse-shaped part of the brain does this really important task. Literally, as you drive down the street and you see a certain landmark and you turn left, you turn right, you're forming this association between a direction and a landmark. That association's associated with the previous one. And you form this sequence, this chain of associations. That's what you then replay each time you drive from your home to wherever you're going.
And the hippocampus sits in your brain right next to another structure called the amygdala, which is shaped like an almond. And your amygdala is in charge of emotions. So, in other words, the part of your brain that does memory is right up against the part of your brain that does emotions. And that's why we remember things easier if there's an emotion attached to it.
When you have strong emotions about, say, a place, right, it can upregulate or increase the activity that's going on in the memory-forming center of the brain. So, this lets us form really strong memories about emotional things.
So you got your almond, you got your seahorse. And once a memory is formed by the hippocampus, it tends to stick around.
For a long time.
No matter what else happens.
It's really, really hard to replace that memory.
Even when the world changes because that place goes away, that memory is still going to be strong and powerful. And even though you know it might sort of make sense to update that association, make a new one, you can't. You literally struggle to do it because that old association keeps intruding into your mind anytime you're trying to think about that route that you're driving. And we call this proactive interference.
So in the brain, you have something called procedural memory, which is remembering how to do something, like drive or get somewhere. And you have something called episodic memory, which is memories of things that you've done or things that have happened to you. So when we're remembering how to get somewhere based on, oh, this is the restaurant where I had a flat tire that one time, basically our episodic memory is bolstering up our procedural memory.
They're so intertwined that you can't separate those things. They work. They feed off of each other, right?
Right. It happens even if you're not doing it on purpose. And Dr. Lau from the memory lab at U of L also agreed with Councilman Tom Owen that this phenomenon depends on some degree of population stability. And it is not a Louisville thing.
It is not a Louisville thing.
Sorry, Louisville. We're not that special. Every place does this.
Every place.
So if it makes no logical sense, it's not helpful anymore to remember directions based on things that are no longer there. Why do we do it? Because it feels good.
It makes us smile.
reminiscing is enjoyable. It's picking up on something that we really like, which is familiarity. It's very easy from at a neural level to think about things that we've thought about before. It's much easier to think about something that we've thought about before than something new, right? And that, there's evidence that that literally makes people feel good when you share that with another person, and that activates their memories of that place. Now everybody wins. Everybody's happy.
So, Kateriana, that is the answer to your question. And hopefully next time you're in Louisville and you drive down Shelbyville Road, you'll remember why, even though it's not there anymore, you think of the old Sears building.
I'm Jake Ryan.
And I'm Laura Ellis in Louisville.